I've hit a really busy couple of weeks. I went to North Carolina. As I said in the opening, Pauline says hey to everybody. That's the South Carolina way to say hello, hey. And Michael and Gloria as well. And the whole time I was there, I was asking the Lord about tonight. What do you want me to share? Nothing, nothing, and nothing came to me. And today, I was in Palmyra teaching a class that lasted about 4 hours. So I was getting that ready, but still asking, Lord, what do you want me to share tonight? Nothing. Nothing came to me. So Thursday rolls around of this week, and I still have nothing to share. And I'm like, we could just pray, you know, I'm okay not preaching. And I asked one more time, Lord, what are you saying to me? I will do whatever you tell me to do. And he said, go upstairs where you keep your notebooks and get the yellow one with the tulips on it. And I'm like, do I have a yellow notebook with tulips on it? I didn't remember that I did. So I went up and I'm like, I have a yellow notebook with tulips on it. And I opened right up first thing to a teaching that I gave on Father's Day 1 year. And I'm like, ta-da. And he went, no. No, that's not it. So I'm like, start going through this notebook. Like, there's a teaching from Dutch Sheets in here. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm going. And then I get to this page that says, the life is in the blood. And the Lord stopped me. And he said, this is it. The life is in the blood. This is not a complicated teaching. This is a basic part of our faith. The life is in the blood. And God and I chat back and forth. I mentioned that to him. And he said, it is part of your foundation. And if you want to build anything, if you want what's weightier, what's heavier, what's the new, what's the more, you have got to have a firm foundation. And so the Lord wants us all to hear this tonight. In Leviticus 17, verses 11 and 14, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. For the life of all flesh is in the blood. There's really no arguing with that. It is pretty straightforward. The life of all flesh is in the blood. If we don't have blood circulating in our bodies, we're not alive. And that's just the truth of it. I want to give a disclaimer because this teaching is not for squeamish or faint-hearted people. It's messy. When we talk about the blood, it's messy. But the book that these scriptures come from is alive. And the price that was paid for us was messy. It was a messy price that was paid. The Bible is a bloody book from Genesis, with the first shedding of blood for the covering of sin, when God made the coverings for Adam and Eve because their fig leaves were wilting, to Revelation, when the one called faithful and true rides from heaven on a white horse in a robe dipped in blood. From the beginning to the end, it's a book about blood and the shedding of blood. Jesus is the very life and power of the Bible. And if we think about blood, think about the Old Covenant, where every single day sacrifices were made, again and again and again and again. What must that have looked like? What must it have smelled like when over and over and over again blood was shed for the remission of sins and so that people could come near God over and over and over again? First the natural and then the spiritual. Blood itself is a tissue. But unlike fixed tissues, it's fluid and mobile. It's not limited to one part of our body. We don't just have blood here or here. We have blood throughout our body. It's a tissue. It supplies the fixed tissues with nourishment. It carries off waste products. We have about 5 quarts of blood in our bodies. And hearts pump blood through our body every 23 seconds. Can you imagine that? Every 23 seconds, blood is pumping through our body. Once blood fails to reach the cells and members of the body, they promptly die. You know, we're always telling our kids, don't wrap that rubber band around your finger, you're going to cut off your circulation, right? Don't do this. And that's what happens. If your blood is cut off for any amount of time, whatever is not getting blood through it will die. And you can lose that part of your body. But in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, you were not redeemed with perishable, corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood is of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. We were not redeemed with anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. And what makes the blood of Jesus different from everybody else's blood? It started in the garden. When Adam and Eve were born, they came out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into them the breath of life. And at that moment, the blood that was in their body turned red because it's oxygen that makes your blood red. And so when he breathed into them and their blood turned red and started circulating, they had pure, unblemished blood in the garden. That was the beginning of it. And then the enemy came along and he tempted Eve, and then Eve convinced Adam to eat the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. And they were told, the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, they didn't die on the spot, did they? They didn't keel over like Ananias and Sapphira. They lived on, but here's what happened. Their blood got poisoned. Sin will poison your blood. And our blood, the blood of mankind, remained poisoned from that day forward. Adam's progeny carried the same defiled blood, and we're part of that too. We were born with blood that was impure. That blood was not going to cause us to live forever any longer because of sin. Redemption required pure, spotless lamb. Christ could partake of Adam's body. He could be flesh, but he could not partake of Adam's blood. That was the problem. And so he could be born the seed of a woman, but he could not be born of a human man, or his blood would still be tainted. It would not be the blood of a pure, spotless lamb, which is what he needed to be. beginning in the embryo, that baby has its father's blood. That's why they do paternity tests, you know, to see, does your blood match your father's blood? And so Jesus, although he was born the seed of the woman, whose blood did he have flowing through his veins? The father's blood, the undefiled blood, the unblemished blood that was not poisoned by sin. He lived as a man, but he lived with pure, unblemished blood on this earth. And it was the only way that he could fulfill and do the things that he was called to do, is if he had that pure and unblemished blood. Once blood is sinless, it becomes incorruptible once again. Are we going to die? We will leave our bodies. Are we going to die? Not if we're in Christ. Once again, we become incorruptible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The whole plan of salvation rests upon the power of the pure, untainted blood of Jesus Christ. He would never die unless he laid his life down. I'm going to say that again. He would never die unless he laid his life down, because his blood was incorruptible. He would never be sick unless he bore our sicknesses by shedding his blood. He became sin on the cross. He became our sickness on the cross. He did it willingly and intentionally, and it never would have happened unless he had laid himself down, because the blood he carried was incorruptible. That is something to think about. So when we become born again, when our spirits come alive once again, what happens to our blood? Is our blood still poisonous? Do we live with poisoned blood? Or do we now live with what's incorruptible? Has our very DNA changed because we have become part of the progeny now of God? Of the sin that Adam committed? Jesus paid for all of that. Back in Peter, where it says that we weren't redeemed with perishable things, but with the precious blood. Precious there means costly, valuable, honorable, highly esteemed. Is a foreshadowing and a picture of what that would be worth. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, killed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. He foresaw the inestimable cost of the blood of the perfect lamb. My mind cannot picture what that would have looked like. The blood of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. I know there's some families here, Tillipas and Douglases, that have their own meat processing, and there's blood involved in that, but not 22,000 and not 120 sheep. And it was just a slight, small picture of what the blood of Jesus Christ was going to be worth. It couldn't even cover the inestimable cost of the blood of the perfect lamb. And what exactly has that blood accomplished in us? What has it done? What was the price? What did it gain for us? It gained redemption. There was an exchange. We are bought out of the slave market of sin with the costly, honorable, highly esteemed, and especially dear blood of Christ. Bought out of the slave market of sin. Acts 20:28 says we were purchased with his own blood. His blood atoned us to cover us, to wipe out our sin. It reconciled us to the Father. It says he reconciled, Colossians 1:20 says, he reconciled all things through the blood of the cross. And Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It's a bloody gospel. It's a bloody, bloody gospel. And it's one thing to think about animals being slaughtered. It's another thing to think about a man who's willingly saying, take my blood, the precious blood given to me by my Father. Romans 5:9 says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. His blood purchased our justification, just as if we had never sinned. So, how often does the enemy come and remind you of your sin? Daily. Daily, sometimes. But the blood of Jesus says, I am seeing you just as if you had never sinned. My blood is covering that. His blood protects us and covers us. Just like Passover, the blood on the doorposts and the upper post. The Father applied the blood on his household for the whole household. And even if they had guests, it applied to everyone. It was the thing that death made death unable to enter. The blood of the spotless lamb. The blood of the spotless lamb in our lives makes death unable to enter. We may leave these bodies. Sometimes it's not soon enough. We may leave these bodies, but we will never die. We will never die because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers us and protects us. We need to stay under the blood to be protected. We can try and wander off into our own thing, but it's the blood that protects us, just like the doorpost. We need to stay under that. The blood cleanses and nourishes. Red blood cells carry fuel to the tissues in combination with oxygen and then carry away the waste products. And the blood of Jesus does the same thing. It nourishes us. It feeds us, it makes us strong, and it carries away the stuff we don't need anymore. It does all of that. We depend on his blood, regular blood for life, cleansing and growth, because the life is in the blood. Our natural blood maintains our body. Our spiritual life is maintained by Christ's blood. It keeps us alive. The blood of Jesus wars with the enemy because our blood is incorruptible. Beelzebub was called the Lord of the Flies, and flies are drawn to decaying blood from dead things. And so the incorruptible blood helps Beelzebub stay away from us. The white blood cells are sometimes called white soldiers. They provide a defense mechanism in our lives. In the blood of Jesus, The class I was teaching today was about spiritual warfare, and I couldn't emphasize enough, do not fight the enemy without calling on the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the thing that will protect us. It is the thing that will thwart the enemy. It is the thing that will keep the wrath of God coming from us. It is the thing that gives us the ability to live on. The blood of Jesus Christ. There is a bloodless gospel that's being preached. Be suspect. If you are not hearing about the blood of Jesus Christ being shed, be suspect. Because it's a form of the gospel, but it is not the real gospel. Because there can be none of these things without the blood of Jesus Christ. We have antibodies that give us immunity, and the blood of Jesus gives us immunity to sin. I remember when Mason was, I don't know, this big. He was always tall, so that could have been four, I don't know. And he had been flagging. We were at the school, Muskridge School, and he had been flagging, and he had a long sleeve shirt on, and he got all sweaty. And his face was bright red, and he came over to me, and I said, "Honey, why don't you sit down for a minute? You're, you know, red in the face and hot." So he sat down gladly, and a few minutes later, I feel a tug on my shirt. And I'm like, "What is it, honey?" And he said, "Grandma, I gotta tell you something." He said, "Daddy doesn't like it when I sit down during worship. But I did feel hot. And then something happened. God was on one shoulder, and there was a bubble on the other shoulder." And those of you who know Mason, he used to have visions of demons that looked like bubbles. He said, "There was a bubble on my other shoulder." And he said, "God is saying, Mason, you know the rule." And the bubble was saying, "Daddy can't see you," in that kind of a voice. And the Lord said, "But you know what the rule is." And then the enemy said, "But you're so hot. Grandma doesn't know the rule." He said, "Grandma, I'll tell you the truth. I was leaning towards the bubble side." He said, "Then all of a sudden, a red river floated by my eyes." And he said, "I knew it was the blood of the Lamb." And he said, "I knew that I would have the courage and the strength and the ability to do what was right." The blood of the Lamb will enable us to do what's right. We need to picture that red river flowing by and flowing through us to give us the ability to do what Satan says we can't do or shouldn't do or we don't have to do. We do. It gives us the ability to live a sinless life, to live the life that Christ lived, to be able to call on that and plead the blood of Jesus over our mind and our wills and emotions, to say, "I can and I will do what is right before the sight of God, because the blood of Jesus Christ empowers me to do it." We need to call on the blood of Jesus. We need to use it and utilize it when we come to those times where the enemy's on one shoulder and the Lord's on the other and we're in a battle. Just cry out, "Lord, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus." It is brought physical and emotional healing. By his stripes we are healed. Jesus crushed the head of the enemy. Without a head, he's not very powerful. Without a head. The blood gives us access in the way right into the throne room of grace. It was his flesh that was shred. There was a curtain there, and the curtain was rent, but now we walk through the shredded flesh of Christ right into the throne room of God. And we can't be held back. I had told the people on Tuesday nights that God had had me living a blood-smeared life. Because I want to walk through that flesh and get to the throne room of God. To come boldly before the throne of God. Are you willing to live a blood-smeared life? To be in the presence of God. To come into the throne room where you can receive all that you need. In Hebrews 10:19 it says, "We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil." And that veil is his flesh. That veil is his flesh. We walk through the flesh of Christ to come into the throne room of God. The blood of Jesus gives us the brotherhood of believers. Blood is the liquid tissue that can reach every cell in the body. And so if it can reach every cell in the body, the blood makes us one. It can reach every cell in this body. It is not hindered by time or space. The blood of Jesus can flow through every one of us. And it's what we have in common if we're walking with the Lord. We all now have the same blood type if we're walking with Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:9-10 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy art thou to take the book and break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom of priests, a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth with one blood flowing through our veins.'" It doesn't matter what color our skin is, what our nationality is. If we have the blood of Christ flowing through our veins, we are one. And it unites us all. We have to be careful of the spirit of Cain that offered a bloodless sacrifice. Is it a sacrifice if it doesn't cost us anything? What makes a sacrifice? What makes a sacrifice? It costs us something. When the blood is removed from the gospel, the life is gone. Because the life is in the blood. The legal ground for all of God's provision rests on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to cut this a little short because I think we're supposed to pray. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 1:3 says, "When he had made purification of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It is finished." Hebrews 10:12-14. "But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." This is a quote from a book called The Chemistry of the Blood. "The blood has been shed. The incorruptible, eternal, divine, sinless, overcoming, precious blood. It availed then, and it avails now throughout all eternity. It will never lose its power. There is power in this room right now because the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing through our veins if we are believers in him. Where do you need to apply that blood? Do you need to be assured of your salvation? Do you have to come into a greater understanding of justification? Do you need something to be cleansed? Do you feel like you're drying up inside and you need nourishment? Is the enemy harassing you and you haven't been able to get victory? Are you struggling with mental or emotional things that need healing in your life? Or physical things that need healing in your life? Where do we need to apply the blood of Jesus tonight? Where in you? And if there's no place in you, who do you know that needs the blood of Jesus applied in their lives? It's incorruptible. It's eternal. When they pierced the side of Jesus, his last drop of blood came out. Water and blood. Every single drop of blood he had was shed for us so that we could live on earth as he lived. I'm just going to let us be quiet for a few minutes and ask the Lord, where do I need to put your blood, Lord God? In your presence, Lord God. Father, we take a step towards you through the shredded flesh of Christ. And we come to you, Lord God, covered in his blood, that blood that's made a way right into your throne room of grace. And Father, we apply your blood. We apply your blood, Lord God, to those places that are weak and dying, where the circulation's been cut off and our hearts stopped beating. We apply your blood, Lord God, to those sick and wounded places. We apply your blood, Lord, against every lie that the enemy is telling us. Lord, that red river that's flowing by us gives us the ability to say no to the enemy. We say no tonight by the blood of Jesus. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. We want to live redeemed, justified, sanctified lives. And Lord, we apply the blood of Jesus in every place in our life that's not living up to that. We thank you, Father, that Jesus gave it all so that we could live. Your life has given us life. Your death has given us life. Your blood has given us life. And until we see you face to face, Lord, we want to live that life, that pure, holy, incorruptible, undefiled life. And so we recognize your blood once more. And we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord God.
Thank you for your blood. you for your blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood.
To live below the precious price that was paid. We don't want to live below what was accomplished for us by the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, turn our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see and apply and live in the victory, in the joy, in the freedom that your blood has paid for. We thank you, Lord God, that we have been made new, that you have given us life. And Father, help us to live in appreciation and in power and in the glory of that which has been paid for. We thank you, Lord God. Be glorified in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.